me in the scriptures this morning to the 11th chapter of Luke, Luke chapter 11. Stand with me as we read verses 1 through 4 together. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." You may be seated. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Somebody were to ask you this morning, "Hey, how was your praying this week?" I dare say most of us would probably maybe cringe a little. Maybe, "Well, I did pray, but of course the follow-up answer is what? Not as much as I should have." That's always a good, safe answer. I read the Bible, not as much as I should have. Again, a good, safe answer. Of course, sometimes when it comes to praying, you hear the call to pray. Okay, what do I say? Of course, we've all probably felt, I just feel like I'm listing off stuff I want. Praying is challenging. Anybody who's tried to pray regularly, tried to pray with a sense of reality of God's existence, prayer is, at one level, I think, our underlying sin. Prayer is not natural to us anymore. Complaining is natural to us. Hiding, blaming other people for our problems, that's natural to us now. But praying and calling upon God, we need somebody to teach us. And we need somebody who knows what they're doing to teach us. And the disciples recognize this. Again, at one level, what can you say about the Lord's Prayer? My answer would be a lot. A lot. Because I think when our Lord says there in verse 2, when you pray, say, it's a command. So this is meant to be a model for us. And he begins, of course, "Our Father," which, not great God in the cosmos, not, you know, the great power, the unmoved mover, but "Our Father." Kind of like as children, when we scrape our knee, we want to go run to our father. We want to run to our mother. God wants us to view Him like that. That He loves us, that He's full of tenderness, that He cares about us. Of course, balancing that, or maybe not balancing, but enhancing it, as we saw last week, He's our Father in heaven. So whatever we go through, and we can skin our knees pretty bad. However bad it is, He has all power to help us. Whatever we go through, whatever we're facing, Pastor Yi this morning in his Chinese jail cell, his elder, Pastor Salah, others who are in prison for proclaiming the gospel and not bowing before the great beast of our day. God's in heaven. He has all power. And so the Father to whom we pray, we recognize on earth, our earthly fathers can't fix everything. Sometimes they can't fix anything. Sometimes we had bad fathers and bad mothers on earth. Maybe even some of you don't even know who your father was. And yet we are taught here by the Word of God come down from heaven that the God who made everything wants us to look at Him and reveals Himself to us as our Father who loves us, and He has all power. And so we can begin there when we pray. Father, I'm struggling. Father, thank you for your love. Father, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the day, but I want to begin by praising you first that you have everything under control. In fact, so important is it for us to begin with God in prayer, not to begin with our complaints, our fears, our worries. The Lord Jesus, in these first three petitions, he directs us toward God and says, make God first. Start your day praising him. Hallowed be your name. May we and all men everywhere honor your name. May we not think or speak of you, our Father in heaven, without the highest reverence, a sense of amazement that you who need nothing, you made everything. We don't add to your glory. We can't take away from your glory. If you were hungry, you wouldn't tell us. All of the nations of the world are but a drop in a bucket. And yet, I want to begin by saying, Father, may your name be honored. Help me to reverence your name, to speak of you with love, with respect, and tenderness. He adds, may your kingdom come. God's kingdom here, as most take it, is his royal power. His royal power. Now, if you've ever tried seriously to honor God's name, to reverence God, to love God with all of your heart, to love your neighbor as yourself, which is what our God wants us to do, you recognize, I can't do this. I'm too weak. I can't honor God's name. I get angry. I don't submit to his providence. And therefore, when I get angry, I violate the first petition. When I'm bitter against the other people in my life that you've brought into my life to bring godly pressure to bear upon me, I've broken the first prayer request because I'm not honoring your name. I'm angry that life's not going my way. So, Father, the second thing he prays for here, we need your power. We need for you to subdue us, our hearts, to a teachable, humble, meek frame. So that like the Lord Jesus, you remember what it said in Philippians 2? Look there with me. Something that's supposed to characterize all of us, wherever we are in life, whatever our particular calling. Philippians 2, verse 2. The Holy Spirit says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look not out only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Father, your kingdom come. Bring your power to bear in my life and in the life of my family, in the life of the people I work with, in the life of the men and women who sit in our Congress, in the life of the men and women who sit on the Supreme Court and the Gwinnett County Commission, and whatever it may be. Father, we cannot honor your name. I cannot honor your name in just doing my little job every day with a good spirit. I can't do it unless you come to me with your power and you help me. I can't do it. I can't do anything. I can't prefer other people to myself. I don't have lowliness of mind. I value my own opinion. I mean, after all, if it wasn't a good one, I wouldn't have it. Okay? And so, you know, we don't have that lowliness. We are self-assured. I can do it. God says, no, you can't. The things that matter most are we honoring God's name, looking to him as our Father. We need for him to come with his power and subdue us. Now, we can look at God's power and his kingdom in two ways. One, Psalm 22, 27, it says God is the governor of the nations and he rules over everything. So when we pray God's kingdom come, we're praying in recognition God is the governor and the ruler of everything. So God bring all men, God our Father, bring all men to reverence and respect you. But of course we also know that he's given all rule and authority into the hand of his Son, and that Jesus is the mediatorial king, which means that God brings his saving rule, and I think sometimes we forget this, God exercises his saving rule now in the world, not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And so oftentimes we're praying, God, crush those evil men over there, destroy them all. And God says, but I didn't do that to you. Now, it's true, God has enemies and God will deal with his enemies and God hates sin and we should hate sin too. And that's all true. But when it comes to our praying, we need to remember that in giving his son who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, in now giving him the name that is above every name, that name is intended to what? Bring God's power in your life to help you, to help your neighbor, to save your neighbor, even as that saving grace brought salvation to you and your family. So we pray what? As our confession teaches us, when we pray, thy kingdom come, we're saying, Lord, send out your gospel. Lord, open men's hearts to receive the knowledge of the truth. The reason there's so much filth in our land, the reason there's so much rebellion in our land, it just reminds us we need for you to come and do what men cannot do for themselves, and that is to raise themselves from the dead. We need for you to come and exert your power to raise dead men to new life in Christ, because the natural man, the man who's not converted, he can't see the things of God's kingdom. He doesn't want them. He doesn't like them. Jesus said in John 3, he says, when I come and I shine a light, he says, men hate the light because their deeds are evil, and so they run from the light. He said in John 15 and 16 to the disciples, he says, if the world hates you, it's because it hated me, because I came and exposed sin. So when we talk about, well, we want people to honor God's name, we would like for false religions to shut down and all men to be converted to the true religion, yes, we would. But there's only one way for that to happen. And that is for God to come in his Son and renew and redeem and quicken dead hearts and bring them to new life in Jesus Christ. And so we're supposed to be praying for this. And remember, I can't review everything from last week, but remember, each of these petitions has kind of got a, an imperative to it. A Father, come and work. Father, come and bring the kingdom of your Son to bear on my life and on the lives of others. It's not a passive, your kingdom come wherever it is, whatever it is. Father, bring your power to bear. Bring your power to bear on my children. Again, parents, you have great weapons. I know sometimes we think that, you know, as our children get older, there's nothing we can do and they're just going to go their own way. How false that is. Granted, parental authority changes as children get older, and children ought to willingly submit to that authority, but they don't. They oftentimes want to find their own way, and they fall into various sins and snares. But remember, you're not without weapons. We often think, well, as soon as we can't spank anymore, or as soon as we can't sit them down and give them a good talk, that our authority's done with. No. That actually is the lightweight authority. The heavy authority is when you learn to pray, parents, Father, my children, they can't. They're not going to want the right way any more than I want the right way. They allow themselves to be influenced by the world, and none of us guard our hearts as carefully as we should. And those influences are insidious and they're deceptive, and Satan is a master deceiver, and my child can do nothing to protect himself from there. And my daughter, she sees the daughters of the land and how they're living and dressing, and my son, he thinks, I'll try this. This will make me feel better. But I can't do anything about it. I can't yell them into the right way. I can't guilt them. Oh, I don't need to. Father, I'm going to get on my face. Father, yes, I want my sons and my daughters to honor you. But Father, you're going to have to bring your kingdom to bear in their life. You're going to have to bring the royal authority and power that you have put into the hand of your Son, and you are going to have to subdue my children's heart to teachables, and you give him no rest. That's the parable, what, of the widow. Comes in here real handy, doesn't it? You know, she keeps going to the judge day and night. Judge is getting sick of it. She keeps going to the judge day and night. And sometimes as parents, we get sick of it. When our children come to us, can I have this? Can I have that? Can I have a cookie? Can I have another piece of bacon? Whatever it is, can I have? And we're like, stop asking. But we need to be careful. Even, I mean, granted, that it can irritate because the rule of the kingdom is keep asking. The rule of the kingdom is, if we can say it like this, drive the judge crazy. The rule of the kingdom is to our Father in heaven, Father, give our children new hearts. Father, give my neighbor's children new hearts. Bring your kingly power to bear. And what did Jesus say in that parable? He says, with respect to the unjust judge, even though the judge did not fear or love, he says, this woman's pestering me to death. I'm going to give her what she wants. And then he says what? How much more? Well, God, because what? He's our Father. He likes us to keep coming to him over and over because he knows that's our safe posture. Our safe posture is not when we trust ourselves or when we pray one time, but when each one of us becomes like a child and we keep going again and again and again and again and again and again and again, your kingdom come. Pray this, parents. It's the best weapon you've got. Start when they're little. It's the best weapon you got when they're little, too. It's far better than your spankers and your words. God's kingly power. Don't neglect the other means, but make sure you use the primary, your kingdom come. And by the way, on this note, there's a lot of fear, I know. And I mean, you can see why our confessions have a lot about each one of these petitions. But, you know, you're concerned about things going on in the world. So am I. You see a lot of blindness. So am I. You see a lot of rebellion, a lot of compromise. Absolutely. What do we need? Well, first of all, Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace for the wicked. So I don't care who you're going to vote for in the next election. Until our nation repents, there will be no peace for the wicked. Isaiah 48:22, 57:21. Psalm 119:165, great peace have they who love God's law. Nothing will make them ashamed. Do our national leaders love God's law? Do the school teachers of our land, even those who are believers, are they allowed to teach love for God's law? Of course not, because that would be offensive or it wouldn't suit the agenda of the day. So what happens? No peace. God has set it up in his world that when you're under the authority of his word, you have peace. When you're out from under the authority of his word, you have turbulence. What do we do? Lord, your kingdom come. Father, you've given the nations into the hand of your son. And don't pray, thy kingdom come, kill the Democrats. Okay? Because if you're going to pray that, you need to make sure you do equal time for the Republicans. Okay? Father, your kingdom come. Bring your royal power to bear from the bottom up, from preachers of the land. I was reading a story, and some of you, I'm sure, know the story. One of my favorite actors from the old days has always been Steve McQueen. He was just a man's man. Did some terms as a Marine and just did some great old movies. And he got sick of Hollywood and wanted to get out and wanted to fly planes. He loved motorcycles, fast cars, fast planes. And when he was wanting to learn to fly some specialized plane, this pilot, older pilot, World War II vet, taught him how, and this pilot happened to love the Lord Jesus. And of course, he led Steve McQueen to Christ. And there's some recordings that have just been published of Steve McQueen talking on his deathbed. About 6 months later, he got some kind of cancer. And he was talking about how he wished he had heard the gospel sooner so that he could have told people what Christ did for his soul. Now you hear that, and you're thinking, God can reach in to people lives just seem like unreachable from a human level. And why? Well, God doesn't save many mighty, many noble. That's true. But at the same time, we're to be praying, Father, for your public honor, for the glory of your Son, your kingdom come. Bring your rule to bear. You know, I want to be careful in saying this, but if you've been watching the news recently, you've learned about this coronavirus. And about the time they imprisoned Pastor Yee, I was praying, well, Lord, and I'm sure some of you are praying the same thing because some of us prayed together about it. The Chinese government's declared war against the church. So that means you're at war against China. And sure enough, I guarantee there's millions of people around the world praying for him. What happens? This land is struck with a virus. And I don't know what the outcome is, and I pray God has mercy on him. But don't think God does not hear the prayers. Our Lord Jesus taught us, do you believe him or not? If you don't believe him, go home. But the Lord Jesus said, God will hear the prayers of his people who cry to him day and night, your kingdom come. Bring your saving grace and power to bear. Now, I want to be real careful. Some of us have come out of, you know, different backgrounds where to pray that really meant, you know, Lord, let us take over Washington and let us, you know, kick out all these interlopers and institute our, you know, regime of, that's not what we're praying for. When we pray your kingdom come, we're praying, Father, bring this, because remember, the kingdom is now a mediatorial kingdom in the hand of Jesus Christ. The sword comes out of his mouth, which is the preaching of the gospel. And it's not a kingdom to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. Lord God, bring your saving power to bear. Why? Well, so that men will do your will. Now, some those of you who are looking at translations based on the King James, Old King James, New King James, you'll see the petition, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which is in Matthew. Some of the newer translations don't have that. If you want to talk about the textual issues, you can see me after. But obviously, you know, there, Matthew has this, so I'm going to bring it in here in the fuller treatment of the prayer. And here the Lord was just talking privately to his disciples. But again, you can see where thy will be done comes from this, doesn't it? Because until God brings his power to bear in my life, in your life, we're never going to be doers of God's will. I mean, you can beat on your children's head all day long. You can beat on your head all the day long. I need to pray more. I need to read the Bible more. I need to share the gospel. I need to do more work more cheerfully without falling asleep at my desk. I mean, you can beat yourself up, but we realize, wait a minute. Jesus came doing his Father's will, but nobody ever prayed more than he did. Now, what's going on? Well, Hebrews 5:8, even though he was the Son of God, he was in our lowliness and took upon himself real flesh and blood. He learned obedience. We're going to learn obedience as we pray your kingdom come. We need God's power in our lives before we can do anything that pleases him and is in obedience to his will. Make sure you emphasize this with your children and with yourself. Obedience is a fine thing, but obedience that is self-generated, so it can be a dangerous thing. So for our college students, sometimes when I pray, don't hit me later, okay? But one of the things I pray is, Lord, if they're not depending on you, don't make them too successful. Because one of the worst things that can happen is for you to be successful, but you didn't really have to seek it from the Lord. Now, I know you're like, I don't ever want him to pray for me again, okay? Well, I mean, I'm praying on the other side. Lord, teach them to depend upon your strength and power so that even if they didn't have as much time to study as they needed to, they came out with flying colors because they depended upon your strength and power. Granted, God uses means, and that's not a request that you don't have to study and God will do a miracle, okay? But the point here is to learn, to depend upon, even in doing the good things, to depend upon the power of God. Now, interestingly enough, in the fourth petition here, and again, we could say a lot about these, but remember what's first, God's name, Lord, bring your power to bear, your kingly rule, so that men may be doers of your will. By the way, just on that last one, doing your will. Men, if you're having a hard time loving your wives and getting along with her, wives, if you're having a hard time, I don't know that I would seek counseling first. I think I would learn to pray first. Get counseling if you need it, but if you're not praying, Lord, bring your kingdom and your power and your glory to bear in my life, the life of my spouse, the life of my children, so that we can be doers of your will. Pray that first. Pray it consistently. Because that's what God does. Now, what prayer request? Now, how are we going to have strength for all this? Turn with me to Matthew 6. where our Lord is in the Sermon on the Mount. He began the chapter with the Lord's Prayer. And then as he comes down to the end, you know, he said in the middle of this chapter, don't worry about your life. Verse 25, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about your clothes. He says, look at the animals, look at the lilies, look at the birds. Verse 30 of Matthew 6, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, why the order in the Lord's Prayer? Why can't I pray for bread first? Well, very clearly our Lord teaches here that what's most important is God's kingdom and doing His will, and the reason God feeds us is so that we can serve Him. The reason God feeds us and the reason that we can depend upon Him to feed us is because we're doing His will. Let's look at this petition in Luke 11. Give us day by day our daily bread. Just three things I want to bring up about this petition, or actually two things. One, this petition does what? It says, don't be anxious. First of all, God has to bless our bread or it won't do us any good. You may think, I've got enough for 20 years, great. But unless God blesses it so that you seek it from His hand, it won't do you any good. Second, don't trust your abundance. Don't trust abundance. Don't worry about the lack of abundance. Because what's God teaching us here? Seek your bread from my hand. That is, if you're praying, and notice this goes in a flow, Father, your name be honored, your kingdom come, your will be done, feed me with the bread that I need today. What's he saying? He's saying, don't be anxious. Obey Jesus. Don't be anxious that, well, I don't know if I'm going to have enough. Well, I have enough to retire. Where did God ever say that he calls everybody to retire? God said, you seek my kingdom and I'll pay your bills. Young men, many in our society decide to choose a calling that they think will make them a lot of money. And some of them choose very poorly. It's much better and biblical and wiser to say, what can I do with my particular gifts? And I have a very limited window of time in my life. What can I do with what He's given me, the opportunities, the tendencies, the gifts, and you're going to have to get help in answering those questions. What can I do to promote His glory and honor? And if I make that my passion, He's going to make sure that He feeds me. By the way, that's why there's so many ulcers today. That's why there's so much nervousness. That's why there's so much economic anxiety, because we've inverted the order. Lord, when I have enough, I'll serve you. Lord, if you'll do this to me, then I'll stop worrying. If you'll give me everything I need, then I'll stop being anxious about tomorrow. When Jesus says, wrong order. He says, first, resolve right here and now. Every one of you here this morning, resolve right now. I'm going to seek first God's kingdom and honor. I don't know what it might mean for me financially, whether my current job or what the future might be, but I'm going to honor Him. And then I don't have to be anxious about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about it, because when I sign up for God's service and I'm doing my daily work to honor Him and obey Him, He absolutely promises, I will give you everything you need. Now, that may not be everything you want. It may not be as much as your neighbor has, but He says, I will take care of you. So that's the first thing this petition teaches us, is don't be anxious. Don't worry about tomorrow. We got whole industries in our land based upon getting people to worry about, will they have enough? Where God absolutely forbids it. He says, you never ever worry, will I have enough? You instead exercise your energy in how can I honor my God? How can I serve the kingdom of my great God and Savior, Jesus Christ? And secondly, the language here, basically, if I can say it like this, God wants us coming to Him like a little baby bird every day, because He says it twice. He says, give us day by day our daily bread. In other words, he wants us coming to Him even if we have a lot. Maybe we need to learn to pray both at the beginning and at the end of our meal, just to teach us that we are to come to Him as little baby birds, little babies. It's a good thing we got a congregation full of nursing babies. I know some of you get disturbed when they start crying. I don't get disturbed at all, because we need to hear it. We need to hear fussing, hungry babies. Because God says He wants you and me. We don't, church, not museum. Okay? We need to hear. This is how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to seek from our Father each day's bread, even if we have a pantry full, so that we learn to depend upon His goodness alone. That's why all of our prosperity in our land doesn't make anybody any happier. In fact, it creates envy. It creates worry, because we're not seeking it from our Father's hand. Are you? Am I? You know, I'll say it like this. You only have God's promise to feed you if you're seeking first His kingdom. Now, He feeds everybody else. But that fatherly promise that I'm going to take care of you, that I'm going to make your bed in your sickness, that when you don't know where it's coming from, I'm going to take care of you, that promise comes to you especially, dear child of God, when you're saying, first, Father, I'm not going to serve you because I know where everything's coming from. I love you when I don't know where anything's coming from. And I want to serve you there, and I'm going to trust because of your promise that you're going to feed me. Now, from this, he goes to two last petitions, which we'll probably save for last week, for next week, because they need to be expanded a little bit in terms of forgiveness and temptation. So we'll just stop here with the prayer this morning. But let me just say a few other things. Do you see a flow here? I mean, I've almost, one of the things I've been trying to do is to teach me and you this morning how to pray this. You know, we say it each week, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. But unfold it. Ask in your life, where do you need to honor God's name? Everybody in here this morning, ask, Father, where am I not honoring your name? Maybe it's a relationship that needs to be worked out. Maybe it's respect that you're withholding. Maybe it's obedience that you're withholding. Where do I need to honor my God? Where do I need my Savior's kingdom power? Where do we need to pray as a congregation? You know, sometimes we think, well, we're in the space age. Can I tell you a secret? God doesn't know what age it is. He doesn't say, oh dear, it's different times, I got to do something different. God doesn't say, oh dear, they've gone to the moon. I got to change it up. God doesn't say, they've operated on the brain. Things have gotten out of hand. We need God's kingdom power to come in our lives. This is why we're told to pray it, so that we can be doers of God's will. And that's really the whole gospel. Look with me in Romans chapter 6, and we'll close by looking at this passage. Romans 6, verse 15. That God brings His power to bear in our lives unto obedience. Romans 6:15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Well, that's the way some people think. Hey, I'm free. I can do what I want. Paul says, certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that you were slaves of sin, yet, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. When God brings His kingly power into our lives, it is to deliver us from sin slavery so that we can become slaves of righteousness and do His will. And that does some surprising things to you. One more passage. John chapter 4, verse 34. John chapter 4. Some of you are anxious this morning. I know it. So am I. Worrying about things. Worrying about life. Worrying about family. Some of you are worried about sinful things. Am I going to be found out? How can I be free from all that? John chapter 4. Jesus has been talking to the Samaritan woman. Verse 28. Then the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Now the disciples are a lot like us. Jesus has just been talking to this Samaritan woman about eternal matters, and they're like, "Jesus, you got to have a sandwich." And then he's like, "You really need to eat." I mean, again, thinking with their stomachs, you really, really need to eat. And Jesus says, "Just one second." He says, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." Now he had to eat. He says, "But I've got a deeper food." He said, "My food is to do the will of my Father." And you know, that's why Jesus could be so calm. We'll talk about this tonight more. But why he could be so calm at one level in the midst when everything's swirling around him is because he was eating on something that we've forgotten how to eat and don't even really want anymore. And that is, I want to do God's will. And when I want to do God's will, when I want to walk in obedience to God, he takes away a lot of the other fears. Because suddenly sin's unattractive to us, so when we stop sinning, we stop worrying about being found out, and we stop feeling guilty because we're concerned about doing the will of our Father. Then, of course, we don't have to worry about the future. Is God going to take care of me, give us this day our daily bread? Because I know that if I make my meat by God's kingly power, if I make my meat to do the will of God, He's going to give me all the other meat I need. You see how these things work out in real life? As Christians, God doesn't want you living with anxiety. He doesn't want you living with the psychoses of unbelieving secularists. He doesn't want you having to turn to drugs and other sedatives to have some kind of behavioral even playing. He wants you saying, "You're my Father, and I trust you that you are faithful. Bring your power to bear in my life. Lord, make me to be a doer of your will." I pray if that is your passion, God will take care of everything else in your life. You have nothing to worry about. Because if you get a horrible disease, well, I'm going to do God's will in the midst of this horrible disease. It may look different, but this is God. I'm going to be a doer of the will of my Father. Pray for this. Pray for this. Because then suddenly worrying about bread, worrying about, will I have enough when I'm 85 years old? I don't know. When I'm 85 years old, I hope I'm worrying about, I'm about to stand before Christ. I don't need to worry if I'm going to run out of money. I need to worry and think about, I'm about to meet the Lamb of God who took away my sins. Let's get back to a biblical reality about life. Your name be honored. Your kingly power come, Lord, so that we and all men may be doers of your will, and then you will feed us and we can be free from anxiety, free from worry. I hope that's true. I pray this for our congregation. Anymore, I'll have to just be honest with you. All I pray is the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm unfolding it. I'm unwrapping it. I'm following the confession. If you need help with that, just look at the larger catechism. And I promise you, you'll never have to say again, "I didn't know what to pray." Turn these things into petitions. Find yourself suddenly, "Oh, you know what? I've been thinking too much like an American. I need to start thinking like a Christian." Not what about me and what I'm going through and my future and I'm anxious. And then these things affect the body. These things give us ulcers and anxiety and depression. Think, God, your will be done. Just that. I'll leave you with this. Lord, may your will be done. May your will be done. Make that your prayer this week. I think I remind of Eric Little, the Scottish sprinter, who said, I'm not going to run on the Sabbath. He got pressure from the British Racing Commission. This was in the 1920s. No, you've got to run on Sunday. Not going to do it. It's King first and then God. And he said, no, it's God first and then King. I'm going to do God's will. Nebuchadnezzar raises the statue in the wilderness. Everybody's bowing down. It looks like the thing to do. I'll put my fingers behind my back. I'll bow down and everything will be okay. And those three boys stood up and said, no, God has said, you shall not worship. This is God's will. But of course, we can, all the other examples we could come up with, I'll leave you with this one. Our Savior. You are saved. This morning, if you're a believer in Jesus, the reason you are forgiven is because he said, my food is to do the will of my Father. Because in the garden, when God told us what his will was, we went, and we spit it out of our mouth. And he said, my meat. And so that obedience is now given to us for our righteousness. This prayer is so big. Learn to pray it. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May we and all men everywhere honor your name, uphold your name, glorify your name, exalt your name. Forgive us for where we allow your name to be trampled in the dust. By the way, we live thanklessly, lovelessly, coldly, cynically. Forgive us, O Lord. We pray that you would bring your kingly power to bear in our lives because we cannot honor your name. We don't want to do your will. We don't want the light. Because many days when we come to the Word, it exposes us and it's just too painful. So we need your power. Lord, you tell us everywhere in the Scripture, especially in Paul's letters, to pray to be strengthened with power. Bring that kingly power, Lord Jesus, the sword coming out of your mouth, the blessed gospel by which you raise the dead, raise us, so that we may be doers of your will. And then, Lord, we have every confidence that you're going to take care of us, you're going to feed us, you're going to give us every day the bread that we need. Help us to seek it from your hand. Help us not to think at any one time in our lives that I have enough because I worked for it. Lord, we do work and you do bless means, but ultimately the reason seeds come up out of the ground is because you water and warm and give life to the dead dirt. And you bless our dead works with life and bring power to them. That's the only reason they feed us. Teach us these things. And what a blessing. Because then we walk with you as our Father and know that we're your children and you take care of us and you will allow nothing to happen to us that will not absolutely glorify your name and promote our eternal well-being in Christ. Thank you for this. Teach us to pray. Help us to obey you, Lord. You said, say this. Help us to learn to pray. We ask in your name. Amen.